Have you ever had anything just kind of hit you? Every once in a while, something hits me. And it's not always my wife. We sang a song just a little while ago that hit me. Is this it? Sing to the King, this song said. Sing to the King who is coming to reign. Glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. Life and salvation his empire shall bring. Listen here. And joy to the nations when Jesus is King. This struck me right here. Because he's already King. He's already King. It's not that we have to look forward to a day when Jesus will be King. Guess what? He's already King. Amen. Question is he King of you? Is he your King? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? What does the word Savior mean? The Saver. He's my Saver. He saved me. The Bible says that I was condemned to hell because of my sin. And it wasn't because of a multitude of sins. It was just because of the first one. Whenever that one was, before I could probably even knew what I was doing. Sin is still sin. And it's all capital punishment in God's eyes. And he says, you sin, somebody's got to die. Just the way it is. There can be no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. He said, but I love you so much. He looked at me and he said, I love you so much. I'm going to pay that price for you. I'm going to send my son, my perfect son, who has never sinned, to be your sacrifice. That way, that my commandment is still met, that there must be death payment for the sin. He said, but I'm going to pay that for you so that you don't have to live in that sin any longer. You don't have to live with the penalties of that sin any longer, and you can be raised to walk in a brand new life. One without the burden of sin. One that can glorify me. That's why I made you in the first place, Mike. Now, this is not what he said to me, okay? This was very personal. This is what he said to me. Right. And I took that and I said, you know what? That's an offer too good to refuse. Yes. I'll take that offer. And I will give you the very best that I can. I haven't always done that. I haven't always done that. But he says, you give me your very best. And when you fail, you confess it, and let's get right back on the right track again, and let's get your very best next time. And I have done that. I have done that. I hope and pray that I would love to believe that every person in this room is a child of God. It is living their life solely for the King and doing everything they can on this earth to accomplish His kingdom work. I would love to believe that, but I just can't help believe that in a crowd this size that there's somebody that's not doing all of that, somebody that's not the desire of their heart to live for Christ in everything that they do and everything that they say. Let me tell you something, friend. If that's you today, today's your day. Today is your, we will name this day after you if it helps you. Whatever your name is, this will be the official Dolan Baptist Day of whatever your name is. Now, all of that is free. That was not had anything to do with the sermon today. But I just, every once in a while, something just hits you. Today, if you open your Bibles, we're going to sing. I was looking at the screen. We're going to sing to the King. We've already done that. We're going to do that some more. But we're going to read a few verses out of Matthew chapter 6 this morning. This is a message that came to me 2 weeks ago, and it just kind of struck me that we may not be the best investors. How many of you have ever heard of an investment strategy? Okay, an investment strategy. That's a strategic plan that you put forth to invest in so that it's not wasted, so that it's put for when you need it, it's put up to actually produce some dividends and incomes later on. And, you know, it's that kind of an investment strategy. It's kind of what we're talking about, but in a different sense, and I'll share that with you in a moment. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 says this: Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What's the treasure of your heart this morning? What's the treasure of your heart? We talk about treasure, and we talk about pirates' treasure and lost treasure and people that have lost their treasure and people that have found somebody else's lost treasure. And we talk about treasure, and we have this idea of what treasure is. Oh, but friend, I really don't know if we truly have an idea of what true treasure really is. But we can. We can. As I was thinking about this message, y'all know, most of you know, some of you don't know, my father lives with us in our home and has for, oh goodness, 10 years now. And he is a representative of the older generation, okay? Give the older generation a hand. There are others in the room that I could pick on, but he'll forgive me better than somebody else will, so. Dad's generation, the older generation, they invested. They saved, they stored up for the future. They had to, because they knew that there were times coming when it was going to be thin. They knew there was going to be time. Dad talks about the rationing back during the war, right after the war, the rationing that took place. And you had to make do with what you got. You had to stretch it, and you had to save it, because if you ate everything up on Monday, you starve the rest of the week. Okay? Talks about gas. You got a certain amount of gas that you could buy, and they wouldn't let you buy any more than what you had a coupon for or whatever. And it was rationed out. And you had to plan and make sure that you invested that so that at the end of the week, if you had an emergency or something you could still do what you needed to do. They invested. They knew how to do that. Today's generation, not so much. Today's generation seems to live for today. And I will tell you that I consider myself still in today's generation, all right? Even though I'm getting old, and Jonathan said I was 52 years old, which I'm not, but James said, I'm 5. And I said, I'm 5'2". And Jonathan said, oh, 5'2", that's 52. Pastor's 52 years old. I'm not quite, but I'm getting closer every day, right? Today's generation seems to live for today and has the mentality that we'll just deal with tomorrow when tomorrow comes. We better spend it while we got it, because we may not have it tomorrow. So let's get it today while we can. You see, that seems to be, there's two ends of the spectrum as far as thinking on investment, it seems like. And not all the older generation saved and invested. Not all of today's generation spends everything they get right away. You know, it's a wide range, but we all fall in there somewhere, okay? When I consider wealth and what wealthy people do. Now, when I want to clarify something, I'm talking about people that earned wealth. Not the Kardashian crew on TV, okay? I'm talking about people that have earned wealth, know what it takes to earn wealth and have established and built something up. Those people are who I'm talking about. They know how to handle wealth, most of them, okay? It's the ones that don't, that were given to them, the ones that you see read on the tabloids and the newspapers and see on Yahoo News about getting into trouble and doing all kinds of crazy, idiotic, stupid stuff. Anyway, that's a whole other sermon. Most of these people know where they came from, and they built something, and they know the value of what wealth really is. How many of you would agree that those people that have built that up, started from zero, built something up, they understand the value of what they got? How many of you you'd agree with that? Good, good, good. Some of you are paying attention. Most of you are. If your neighbor's asleep, elbow them, because this is going to get decent after a while. They had this idea that there's value in it. The poor, those that are really struggling, they seem to have this idea that they have to spend it, because if they don't, then they may not have it tomorrow to spend it on what they wanted. And there's a complete different We have to get this mindset that we are not po-folk. We ain't po-folk, folks. We are rich. We are wealthy. We have to get that mindset that we have riches in heaven that can never, never even compare to the richest riches of this earth. And the greatest thing about it is it was given to us. Therein lies the problem. Therein lies the problem. We didn't earn it. Are we acting with our riches in heaven like a Kardashian? That wasn't in my notes. That was just free. We have to get the mindset that we are rich spiritually. We're rich. We're rich. Have you ever heard of a phrase called circumstantial faith? I was thinking about this week. It's easy to have faith when things are good, but what about those dry spells? Have any of you ever experienced a dry spell, spiritually speaking? Yeah. Is it easy to have faith in those times? Okay. Circumstantial faith says, when things are good, my faith is high. And when things are low, I can't dig low enough to find where I put my faith. It's just, I don't know. I don't know where to do. I don't know what to do, where to go, who to turn to. I'm just struggling. Nothing seems to go right. Don't nobody love me. I guess I'll just go eat worms. Right? I messed it up, but you know what I mean. Those dry spells, those tough times, those times when we lose a mom or dad. We lose a child. We lose a job. Relationships seem to just unravel and fall apart. Those are dry spells, folks. Those are dry spells. We need to be making those spiritual deposits so that we can draw from them when things are tough. You see, that's what an investment strategy is. You put money aside. Put money in somewhere where it's going to grow. And when you need it, should something arise, it's there for you. That's what a good investor will tell you, that's what that's for. We can do that spiritually. How do we do that? Well, I'm not going to leave you here not knowing. Just not going to tell you quite yet. My faith is not based upon my circumstances. And I pray that your faith is not based upon your circumstances, that it is based upon a person, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever. And guess what? He's been where I am. He has. He's been where I am. He's been, I hope I never have to be where he was. Because he was treated pretty rough. He was treated horribly, badly. But he's been where I am. He's been tempted in every way. The Scripture says that he was tempted in every way that man has been tempted. And he sinned not. But he's been where I am. He understands. He knows what it's like to lose somebody through death. And guess what? He grieved when he showed up at his friend Lazarus' tomb. Shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. He knows what it's like. He knows what that's like. He knows what it's like to be offered high position. He knows what it's like to be tempted to be prideful. He knows what it's like folks, wherever you are, Jesus knows what it's like. It's not, we don't have a king who doesn't know what we're going through. We don't have a king who's been silver spoon fed all of his life and had never experienced hard times and trials and tribulations and rough times and heartache. Jesus has been there. Jesus was betrayed by his closest ones. How many of you have ever felt betrayal? Yeah, guess what? Jesus knows what that's like. I used to work. Some of you know that I've been a pastor here at Dolan Baptist Church for, in May, it'll be 6 years. 6 years, I'm glad for that. Some of you may not know that this is the first time I've ever been a pastor. I've been a pastor, period, for 6 years almost. Before that, I was doing all kinds of stuff. We were working in the youth department and doing all kinds of stuff in the church, deacon in the church. You can take that good or bad, but around here we take it as good stuff because we have some good deacons. But during that time, I was doing some construction work, heavy machinery construction work. We ran a company that we ran dozers and excavators and motor graders and mixers and all loaders, all kinds of stuff. One time we were running over 100 dump trucks and just moving dirt everywhere all over the place. Big time stuff. But here's the deal. The weather didn't always cooperate with our plans. And when it's rainy, nobody wants to buy mud. They want dirt. But if it's raining, you can't find dirt because it's all wet. That's what mud is. It's wet dirt. Okay, some of you didn't know that. But that's what happened. And so what we would have to do is when it was sun was shining, we were working. We were working. We're working long, from dusk to dawn and dawn to dusk. Sometimes we needed to work dusk to dawn, but we would work. Now I'd come home, and Rebecca would tell you that I would come home. She wouldn't even let me in the house. She'd say, stop at the door. Strip down out there and rinse yourself off of the water hose before you can come in and leave your clothes outside because I would just be covered. But when it was good, we were working. And then the rain would come. And when the rain comes, I would sit at home because there was no work. And that was fine every once in a while, kind of a nice break, except when you're working for yourself, if you don't work, you don't get paid. Okay? So we had to learn how to operate and live on that kind of income. We would have a great week, a bumper crop, you know, we would be just making money hand over fist, and we would know that it ain't always going to be that way. So we couldn't spend that big wad of cash we had at the end of the week. We needed to reserve some of that because next week it might rain. So we would live on whatever we needed to live on. Every once in a while we would splurge on a little something here and there, but we would reserve what we could for those thin times. Folks, we have to do that spiritually too. We have to do that. We have to store up. As I was thinking about this, yesterday we did a wedding right here in the church. It was a fantastic, one of the funnest weddings I've ever done. And I've done a lot of them, but that was one of the funnest ones I've ever done. And it was so good because the lady was singing a song over here. It was holy ground she was singing. And 80% of the crowd out here was singing right along with her. And it was just a good time. And people were on target. And it was just, they were participating. And it was a great time. The day before, on Friday, I preached a funeral. I got a phone call earlier in the week from a friend of mine who is in law enforcement. And he said, a friend of mine in law enforcement, her mother passed away, and they don't have a preacher, they don't have a church. They need somebody to preach a funeral. Can you do that for her? And I said, sure. So I preached a funeral up at Livingston. Different ends of the spectrum. This event we had yesterday, this wedding, they had invested in the church, they'd invested in friends and relationships, and they had something to draw from when their time came. This other family, they had not invested. They didn't have a church. They didn't even have a preacher. They knew a preacher, but he had died years and years and years ago because when they were kids, he was their preacher. They didn't have a preacher. They had nothing. They didn't have any investment. It was sad. It was very sad. Sweet family, but they had not invested. They had not built up the reserves to draw from in their time of need. So here we go. How do we invest our spiritual wealth so that it produces dividends? Okay? First, we need to look at why we invest. I'm going to give you three items of reasons why we invest physically, why we invest money. Okay? Here they are. To take care of us later in life. Okay? When we start to get older and we can't do, maybe our earning potential decreases, or we retire, whatever that is, and our health begins to fail, Okay? Guess what? Healthcare costs money. Did y'all know that? Okay, you did. Healthcare costs money, and it's going through the roof. So one good reason to invest money physically, financially, is to take care of us later in life. 401ks, retirement programs, coffee cans under the bed, whatever it is, you need to invest and put something somewhere. Coffee cans don't really gain a lot of interest. Problem is, the bank doesn't pay you much either, so it's, you may be safer under the mattress, I don't know. Just don't tell your neighbor where you keep it. The other reason to invest is to leave something for our kids. How many of you would like that when your time on this earth is done, to be able to leave something for your kids? Financially, physically. Yes, you want to do that. My kids are raising their hand. I want you to do that for us, Dad. Please invest for us. I want to do that. I want to leave something for my children. The third reason that I've written, there are many reasons, okay, but I had to focus in on three, otherwise we'd be here till evening service. But for unforeseen crisis, okay, unforeseen crisis. Those times when you're rocking and rolling, things are going good, and then all of a sudden you wake up in the morning and things just aren't okay. Physically, something's gone wrong. And you, honey, you got to get me to the doctor. You go to the doctor. And they say, I can't do anything here for you. I need to send you to another doctor. And you get to that doctor, and they say, you need to go to another doctor. They say, you need to go to the hospital, and we want to run these tests on you. How many tests? All of them. We want to run every test that we can because we're trying to pay for this equipment. We want to run lots of tests on you. Well, guess what? An unforeseen crisis. Had a little unforeseen crisis this last year. Turned out to be not a big deal. But it sure cost a lot. We're still paying on that unforeseen crisis, okay? But we've got to save up and invest to cover unforeseen crisis. Now, how does that relate spiritually to us? Let's revisit those things. To take care of us later. It's coming to you. You need to invest now so that you'll be taken care of later. I'm not talking about when you get old. I'm talking about when you get young again. I'm talking about when you take your first breath in heaven. How many of you would like to have some resources put in place that'll take care of you there? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not preaching a sermon that what you save up you get to use and all that in heaven, because the truth is, and I believe Scripture teaches, that what the rewards we get in heaven are what we get to lay at the feet of Jesus Christ, because He has given us everything. I want to give Jesus lots and lots of crowns. I want to lay at His feet tons of stuff. But I don't earn that in heaven. I earn that here. That's an investment, okay, to take care of us later, an investment. The second thing was to leave something for our kids. And we said, yes, we'd like to leave something for our kids. What better thing on this earth to leave for your kids than a legacy of spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, spiritual steadfastness, spiritual leadership, leading your home, raising your kids in a way that honors Christ and teaches them to do so for their kids? That is a great investment. How many of you in this room are a recipient of that kind of investment? Okay, there are some that are not. There's some in this room that did not have that, their parents did not make that kind of investment for them and in their lives. And they're experiencing something different now, something they're in uncharted territory. And it's okay, because maybe you understand even better the value of that investment. And let's leave that for our kids. The last thing that I said there was, for an unforeseen crisis. And I gave you the illustration of a health crisis. Unforeseen crisis. We can invest spiritually also for unforeseen crisis. Question is, what do you have in your spiritual account now to help in that need, in that time of crisis? Remember that family I told you about, that funeral I preached? There was no investment. There was nothing. When it came time to draw on some physical resources to help them through their time of need, they had nothing to draw from. Folks, that's why being part of a church is so important. Being part of a church. There's an illustration that you've probably heard, and I've heard it a dozen times, but this old preacher, he went out to visit this guy that had quit coming to church. Didn't have a reason, wasn't mad or anything, he just kind of quit coming. And the preacher went out to see him, and the guy was just sitting there in his house in front of his fireplace and was just looking at the fire, or stoking the fire, and the preacher didn't say a word, just walked in, sat down. They just kind of poked at the fire and looked at the fire for a little while, and the logs had kind of burned down to embers, and there were these coals in there. The preacher, he just kind of got the poker, and he reached up, and he grabbed one chunk of the coal there, the lump of stuff that's glowing. Yeah, it wasn't even wood anymore, it was just kind of an ember. He drug it out on the hearth, he just kind of pulled it out away from the fire and left it there and set the poker down. They just kind of watched it and looked at it. And the fire was in there, was just kind of glowing and hot and putting off a lot of heat. And this little ember that he brought out, you know, about the size of a small rock, brought out, and it kind of was hot for a while, and then it started getting cold, and it got gray, and then it went to dark, and it was not hot anymore. The preacher just kind of looked at it. Without ever saying a word, he took the poker, and he pushed it back and scooted it right up next to the fire again. And guess what happened to that piece of coal, that piece of that ember? It came back to life. It got back hot again. And without ever saying a word, greatest sermon ever preached, it was that without words. And he put the poker back, and he got up to leave. And the old man said, "I get it, preacher. I understand. I'll be in church Sunday morning." You see, when you take something away from the source, away from the heat, away from the activity, you're going to go cold. Let me encourage you. Stay involved in church. Get involved. And involvement is really more than just Sunday morning attendance, okay? The more you get involved, the closer you get to the center of that heat. And if you're not involved in a church, I know we have some guests, and let me tell you something. If you're not involved in a church right now, get involved somewhere. If that's here, and if the Lord is leading you here to this place, we would love to have you. But if it's not, I don't want to sound mean or crude, but if this is not where God wants you to be, I don't either. not because I don't want you, but I want you to be where God wants you to be. Okay? If that's here, friend, we want you. We got stuff for you, and it's a good place. But if it's somewhere else, you need to get there, and you need to get involved and get hot. Amen? Okay. All right. Now, I looked at some reasons of why people invest. There are also three reasons I identified of why people don't invest. You know what number one reason that came to my mind was? I just can't afford to. I can't afford to invest. I'm living hand to mouth right now, and I can't really afford to invest physically. I'm talking about financially. I can't afford to invest. The second reason was, I would, but doggone it, there's just so many things I want right now. And if I wait and I invest, it may not be available for me. The truth is, if I wait and invest, that thing that I want is going to be obsolete and it's going to be something new and better anyway. So I'm just telling you. But, you know, if you wanted the iPhone 6 so bad, if you just wait a little while, guess what? 7's coming. And you know what's going to come after the iPhone 7? 8 or something. They may change the name by then. I don't know. But first reason why people don't invest is I just can't afford to. Second reason is I want it now. I don't want to invest. I want something now, right now. The third reason I identified why people don't invest is because they have this mentality. Well, somebody else will help me if I need it. I'll just lean on other people. I won't worry about that for me. I'll just go ahead and do what I want to do. And then if I get in need, I'll just lean on other people and let them help me in that time of need. All right? Now let's correlate that to spiritual investment. I can't afford to. Well, guess what? Trouble is going to come. trouble is going to come. Jesus himself said, in this world, you will have trouble. Oh, but take heart, I've overcome the world. That's the good part. Okay, we like to just focus on that part. Take heart, I've overcome the world. We forget about the part that where he said, you will have trouble. Guess what? You will have trouble. I can't afford to. Friend, you can't afford not to. You can't afford not to. Can you really afford to be unprepared spiritually? No. No, we need to be prepared. I want it now. Remember, people don't invest because I want it now. There's a lot more in eternity than there is in the 70, 80, 90, 100 years that we have on this earth. There's a whole lot more in eternity. The number one, or one reason why people don't invest spiritually is because they really don't believe there really is eternal life. Why would I invest in something I'm not really convinced and sure about? Did you know the Bible says that you can be sure? You can be absolutely sure and convinced that there is a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ, and he's paid the price for you. All you have to do is receive that gift. Receive it. Receive it. You can be certain of that. Friend, if you are uncertain of that today, you need to see me. We need to sit down. We need to visit. We need to make certain of your eternity. The third reason that I said why people don't invest was because somebody else will help me if I need it. I'll just lean on other people. If I spend all my money and I need something else, I'll just call up mama or daddy, or I'll go to my friend, or I'll go here, and somebody else will bail me out. Okay? Well, that's kind of selfish, don't you think? That means it's all about me. I'm just concerned about my needs and what my wants. I want to have my cake and eat it too. I want to do what I want to do, and if it gets me in trouble, I'm going to let somebody else bail me out because it's all about me. You see, we don't understand that we're in a position, or we can be in a position to help somebody else in their time of need. That's an investment spiritually. We can be in a position when somebody calls up and says, Mike, I just lost my dad and I don't know what to do. I'm so torn. I'm so heartbroken. I can say, I'm on my way. I'm coming over. And I can go there and I can sit down and I can share with them. I can share with them the hope that we have. I can share with them how the scripture tells us that we are to grieve. We're just not to grieve like those who have no hope. I can share with them some promises from Scripture because I have made an investment and now I have something to give spiritually to help somebody else out. You see, when I do these sermons, if I don't invest, if I don't dig in and dig deep and study, I have nothing to share with you. I have to do an investment every week. You are really no different. You have more opportunities to preach than I do. We need to invest so that we're able to help someone in the time of need. I kind of want to close with this illustration that I did run across. I did not write this, but I read about this. Several years ago in the New Year's Day parade, there was a beautiful float in the Tournament of Roses parade. Well, it suddenly sputtered and quit right in the middle of the parade route. Just quit, just died. It was out of gas. You know, they're driven by these trucks that are underneath all the flowers and all the stuff. It was out of gas. The whole parade was held up until someone could get a can of gas to fill up the float and get it moving down the road. And the funny thing is that the float was the Standard Oil Company. With its vast resources, the truck was out of gas. That truck describes a lot of Christians today. They have vast resources in Christ, but more often than not, they find themselves out of gas. Friend, if you're here this morning and you find yourself, I'm out of gas. I'm just out of gas. I'm out of gas. there is a vast resource available to you. All you have to do is attach yourself to the resource, let it flow, and your tank will never be dry. I'm convinced that if they had had cars in Jesus' time, Jesus might not have told the woman, if you'll drink, you'll never go thirsty. He might have told her, if you fill up at my station, you'll never run out of gas. That's all speculation, by the way. So how do we invest spiritually? How do we do that? Well, you are doing some of that right now. You're here. You have scooted yourself up closer to the fire. You're receiving the benefits of some of the radiating heat from the fire, and you're beginning to glow. When we invest, when we tithe, that is an investment. I know that because Scripture says it. The only time God says you can test me in Malachi, he says, test me in this. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and see that I don't open the windows of heaven and just pour out more than you can stand. It's God's way of saying, I'm going to bless your socks off. If you're faithful, if you will invest in me, I will give you more dividends than you can even count. We can invest in service. We can invest in volunteering, getting involved in the church. That spiritual investment I talked about building an investment so that we can help others, we do that through service. You can invest spiritually in the way you do your parenting. For some of you, in the way you do your grandparenting. That's an investment. Investing in those little ones, investing in them, pouring. Some days, and mamas and daddies, listen. Some days, it's all you can do to get them up. Try to find some clothes that look decent. Get them on them, right? Get them out the door to school or to whatever, and get them back home. Get some food in them. Try to get them cleaned up, settled down, homework done. Back in bed. Sometimes it's a struggle just to get through that day, right? Take every opportunity you have to invest in those kiddos. They need it. They need it. They're going to need something to draw from at some point. You can be that nest egg that kicks off their spiritual investment. In relationships. You can invest in relationships. Some of you have work relationships. Some of you have friendships outside of church, and you can invest in those relationships. There are lots of ways you can invest. You can invest spiritually for yourself. You better be investing in yourself spiritually, in your own spiritual growth. You do that through the reading of the Word, through Bible study, through things like this. You come to hear God's Word preached to you. But folks, that's not enough. You'll go starving if that's all you feed on all week long. You need to be investing yourself in God's Word, and allowing Him to pay you back the dividends that only He can pay, the eternal dividends. We have to have an eternal mindset. We have to, remember a while ago I said that one of the reasons that people don't invest is because they really don't believe there really is an eternal life. Why would I invest in that? Folks, we have to get an eternal mindset. We have to really, really believe Scripture that talks about there is a heaven, there is a hell, and we're headed one of two places. We have to understand that if I choose Christ, my eternal destination is heaven, and it's real, and it's a real place, and I'm going to spend a whole lot more time there than I do on this earth. And we can invest, and we can do that. We have to have an eternal mindset, that there are some things that we're going to invest in here in this earth, relationships, activities, attitudes, that we invest in this world that are going to count for heavenly rewards. And it matters. We've got to believe that. We've got to believe that. My question in closing to you is this. Are you certain? Are you convinced that there really is a heaven, there really is a hell, and that you're headed to one or two places? Are you so certain of that that you're willing to say, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do what Scripture said. I'm going to store up for myself treasures in heaven. Because I want to be able to lay some good stuff at the feet of Jesus. Because He laid His very life for me. If you're not certain, oh friend, here in just a moment, we're going to stand, we're going to sing a song for however long it takes. The altar will be open. I will be standing in front. My wife comes and stands with me, and the reason she does that is because there may be, you may be a lady and you want to pray with a lady, and that's why she's here. You don't have to pray with either one of us. The altar's wide open. Maybe you have a friend across the room, and you just want to go to that person and pray with them. That's what this time is for. But if you have some questions, and you are uncertain, or you are unsure about some things, I might be able to have the answers for you. I guarantee you this, if I don't, I won't stop looking until I find it. I don't claim to have all the answers, but I know where they are. I know where they are. This is the greatest investment that you can make. It'll change your life. It'll lead you to make an eternal investment. It'll change your eternity. Where are you today? Where are you today? Father in heaven, Lord, your word tells us that we can make an investment here in this life and on this earth that counts for all of eternity. Father, help us to do that. Help us to invest our lives in you, for you invested your life in us. Father, help us to be willing to invest in others around us. Father, we can't invest if we don't have resources to draw from. So let us invest in our own spiritual growth. Let us invest in the local church. Let us invest through tithing. Let us invest, Father, in service. Lord, it is more blessed to give than receive, your word tells us. And I know that for a fact. Anybody that's been on one of our mission trips will tell you that. We go to be a blessing, we come back more blessed than we were when we left. Father, giving of ourselves is like an endless resource. You completely fill us back up to overflowing, pressed down, shaken together, and still overflowing. Oh, a good measure. Lord, help us to be faithful to you. Lord, if there is someone this morning here that's not sure, that's uncertain, Father, let them not leave this place today with questions, with doubt in their mind. Father, you show them. You speak to them where I have failed. And let them know that there is a certainty about Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe you have spoken in this place today. Lord, now it's our turn to put what you've spoken into action. Lord, some may need to come and visit with me, Rebecca. Maybe some need to come and pray. Father, some of them may just need to hit their knees. Some may need to go somewhere else in this room. Father, whatever it is, I pray that you would pave the way and that we would respond in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?